Well, I certainly love this time of year. I'm sure you do as well. It sort of stirs up within me those boyish feelings of excitement about Christmas Day coming and looking forward to what is going to happen. And yet there was never a Christmas that I enjoyed as much as the Christmas season 24 years ago, because that was the year that we were not only getting ready for Christmas, but that was the year that Terry and I were getting ready for a wedding. I should say she was getting ready for the wedding. I was getting ready for marriage. And we were looking forward to that day when we would become husband and wife. And it was a great time of anticipation as we look forward to beginning our lives together. Reminds me of a wedding we had here this past Friday evening. We had Cody Cool, a young man who came here to attend Bible college, and Shonda Yarborough, a young lady that was saved here through our ministry, and they met here and fell in love. And the night came, Friday evening, 6 o'clock for the wedding, and I was standing right behind that door, as I always do with the young men. And different ones have different emotions. I have never seen a young fella as ready and excited to get married as Cody was standing back behind that door Friday night. I mean, we just about had to nail his feet down to the ground. He was excited. He was saying, "I can't believe it's here. This is the day. We're going to get married today in just a minute." And sometimes I say jokes to the fellas just to try to calm their nerves. And sometimes I'll say, "You know, there's still time to back out. You go out the back door, I'll cover for you." But that would not have worked. I mean, he was pumped up and ready to go. I mean, those kids, they smiled from ear to ear during the entire ceremony. It was almost embarrassing, to be honest with you. I mean, they were just so excited about it. And you know, that's exactly how Joseph felt as he looked forward to that day when he would go to take his bride unto his own. He looked forward to that day when he would go take Mary and when they would begin their lives together. He was no different than any other young man looking forward to beginning his life and doing all that he had dreamed to do there in his marriage with Mary. And yet, as he was hastening toward that day and as he was anticipating that day, God came to Joseph and God said, "Joseph, I want you to know that what my will for your life is right at this moment is that you would wait. I want you to put all of your plans on hold. I want you to be willing to just trust me right now, Joseph, because I have something special that I'm going to do." I wonder if you've ever had a time in your life when you were anticipating something greatly. I mean, you were marking the days until that event came. I mean, you had been planning on your time planner system, how you were going to achieve a particular goal. And you were just sure that this perception of yours would become a reality. And all of a sudden, God, in His sovereign ways, rewrote the script. He stepped in and he said, "I know what you've been planning and I know how you thought it would be, but what I want you to do right now is just wait for a little while. I want you to be willing to just put things on hold right now." You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, one of the most helpful verses in the Bible, is a verse that I put in your notes this morning. It's in the introduction. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I'd like you to see that verse with me because it talks about waiting. And that's what Joseph's decision was. Maybe not really spectacular for some of us today, but Joseph simply had to make this decision that he would wait. He decided to wait on the Lord. And Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God says, for those that are willing to wait, for those that will listen to my still small voice during the times of transition and the times of waiting, He said, "I'm going to draw near to them. I'm going to meet them at their point of need." Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I'm not really good at waiting. I mean, I like things to be done either yesterday or right now, but not any time later than now. I want things to get done in a hurry. And I'm sure that Joseph, like young Cody Friday night, I mean, I'm sure that Joseph wanted to move on ahead with his life, but that wasn't to be. God said, "What I want you to do is I want you to be willing to wait." Well, let's notice this morning the life of Joseph. And the first thing I want you to see in your outline is the worry of Joseph. I want you to see that this was a time that caused him great introspection and great concern. The Bible says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. It is obvious as we read this text this morning that Joseph was in a quandary over the news concerning Mary. It is obvious that Joseph is trying to decide, should he make her a public example? Should he offer up a bill of divorcement and allow her the public shame of that? By the Old Testament law, she could have been stoned for having been involved in unfaithfulness during the time of betrothal. Or should he deal with this in a more private manner? What was he to do after all? All of us have had times where we had to ponder great decisions, and none had ever been any greater in Joseph's life than this. And I believe the reason for the worry and the reason for the consternation can be found in a variety of different reasons. I think the first reason is the fact of the integrity of Moses, of Joseph, the integrity of Joseph. If you'll notice in the scriptures, the Bible says in verse number 19 that Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a pure man, and Joseph was a just man. Here was a man who had walked in purity. The Bible says that he had not known Mary. The Bible says that he had been a man who was pure, a man who was morally clean. The Bible tells us in verse 19 that he was a just or a righteous man. Here was a man thinking this way: what's the right thing to do right now? How do I handle this situation in the right way? And his integrity had caused him great consternation because he wanted to do the right thing. I believe he had worry and concern in his heart, not only because of his own integrity, but also because of his interest in Mary. I want you to see the interest of Joseph. The Bible says in verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." I believe the interest of Joseph was for Mary. I believe that Joseph was greatly concerned for Mary's reputation and for how to be kind in the process to Mary. He did not want to put her away publicly. He thought maybe privately this relationship should end. He was wondering what's the best way to handle this. And I believe the reason this was such a hard decision for him was because of his love for Mary. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." Now notice verse 7, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." You know, I believe that Joseph loved Mary. And I believe that he was bearing with her through this time. He was hoping during this time. He was enduring through this time. You know, we need men today who would love their wives with this kind of a love. The kind of love that bears through the difficult times. The kind of love that endures through the difficult times. And Joseph's great interest was for Mary. What was the right thing to do? We see that Joseph was a man of integrity. We see that Joseph was greatly interested for Mary. But notice thirdly, the intention of Joseph. Joseph in verse 19 was minded to put her away. To put her away means to divorce, to break off the engagement. And he's literally sitting there thinking, I know that Mary is expecting out of wedlock. I know that I'm not the man. And he's thinking, I think maybe the best thing is just to privately end this relationship. And I think you get a picture today of the worry and concern and how he must have felt as Joseph pondered all of this news and all of these events that he was facing. But I want you to notice not only the worry of Joseph, but I want you to notice, secondly, the waiting of Joseph. Notice what the Bible tells us about Joseph as he ponders this news. The Bible says in verse number 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, I want you to see Joseph here waiting on the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, that he waited thoughtfully. He waited thoughtfully. The Bible says in verse 20, "But while he thought on these things." You know, the average man in 21st century America, hearing the kind of news that Joseph heard, might have become very angry, might have gone to Mary and yelled and screamed at Mary, might have got on the internet chat room and found some dating club, might have found some bar just to go drown his sorrows. Who knows what a man may have done. But Joseph was a godly man. And what godly men do is they wait on the Lord. Godly men seek the face of God. And they don't run to a rash decision or conclusion. Here was a man who waited thoughtfully. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Sometimes, as Benjamin Franklin of old said, haste makes waste. And we see that Joseph was a wise man. He wasn't going to get hasty in this moment. He was going to wait on the Lord. I want to encourage you during this holiday season, with its highs and with its emotional lows, that you do not allow yourself to make a decision during that low time. That you do not make a decision about relationships or about your church attendance or about some big decision financially when you are discouraged or depressed. That during those times of wonder and worry, that you would remember Joseph, who was willing to just think on these things and meditate and wait on the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, how many of you are willing to say with me, if this was the invitation time, and it's not, don't get your hopes up, that's about 15 minutes from right now. But if this was the invitation time, how many of you would be willing to say, Pastor Chaffel, if you were to give the invitation right now on patience and the need for it, my hand would be lifted. I'm one that needs to make some decisions in that area. Patience. Boy, I need help with it. Joseph needed help with it. And the fact of the matter is, he was willing to wait on the Lord. We all get impatient. I heard about a little fella that wrote a letter this week to Santa Claus. And he said, Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance. Sometimes that's how we are. You know, we want things right now and in our own terms. But Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph waited thoughtfully. And I want you to see also, Joseph waited knowingly. He waited knowingly. You know, I love the fact that God will come to us and give us just as much information as we need during our time of trial. He doesn't always give us all the information we want, but He gives us just what we need to know during that time. And for Joseph, God sent to him an angel with this message. In verse 20, the Bible says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The first thing that God reveals to Joseph is that this conception that he was so worried about, this conception was a miraculous conception. That this had come about by the work and the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Luke 1 and verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now the modernist today and the liberal theologian and preacher today deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But without the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary, and without the virgin birth of Christ, then there would never have been the atonement on the cross of Calvary. And so the virgin birth is one of the cornerstone doctrines of the Christian faith. And God said, I want you to know, Joseph, that this was no accident. This was no sinful act. This was the holy work of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in John 1:14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If I can draw your attention to that verse, John 1:14, the Word, speaking of Jesus Christ, He was the eternally pre-existent Word. This one who existed in eternity past, who has always been and always will be, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Word became flesh by way of this miraculous conception of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was born. And He who never ceased to be God and who always was God became man. And thus He was God and man simultaneously. He was deity wrapped in humanity. And Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of God. And the Bible says, "For in Him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We know that there are many cults in America today and many false religions around the world today that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And yet we celebrate this month the fact that God came down to us, and that if Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, then we would have no salvation today, for the blood atonement would be of no effect. But because He was the Son of God, then there is salvation offered from heaven for all who believe today. And so we see the conception was miraculous. And we see, secondly, the purpose was salvation. Why did Jesus come? Just to be a good teacher or a good prophet or another religious figurehead? No, there were plenty of those. But the fact is, He came for one reason. And it's found in verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now let's read this together, shall we? In verse number 21. Ready? Begin. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now, Jesus came to save us from our sins. Please listen very carefully. No one will be saved from their sin. And by the way, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners this morning. None of us can be saved from our sin on our own. We cannot be saved from our sin by a church. We cannot be saved from our sin by a religion. The only way that we can be saved from our sin is by Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who lived a perfectly sinless life, and who died on the old rugged cross and shed His blood for the covering of our sin, and rose up again on the third day for our justification. Jesus came to die for our sin. What a wonderful Savior He is. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, His name, Jesus, reveals His purpose. It means Jehovah saves. The name Savior means deliverer. And Jesus Christ came to make an atonement for the guilt and the pain and the consequence of our sin. He came to cover that with His precious blood. Oh, this morning, I want you to know God loves you, and He values you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sin. This past week, I traveled back east for a meeting at Baptist International Missions, a Baptist missionary agency, and the Lord's allowed me to serve on their board of directors the last several years. And we had the opportunity to hear different missionary testimonies and to see how things are going along with over 1,000 missionary families and so forth. And it was a blessing. And as I returned home from that meeting, I was sitting on the airplane and I had my Bible out there and I had my laptop out, and I was doing some reading and doing some studying and some working. And as I was going along, I heard just behind me and to the left a lady. I thought to myself, she either has a bad cold or she's crying. I didn't know which. I just knew there was a lot of sniffling going on back there. And after a little while, she reached over and tapped me on the shoulder. She said, "Sir," she said, "could I borrow your Bible?" And I said, "Well, sure." And she took my Bible, and I heard more sniffling after a little while. I looked over and I said, "Do you need any help with where to read in the Bible?" She said, "Well, I saw you reading Matthew, so I thought I'd read Matthew." I said, "All right, well, I just thought I'd ask." After a little while, I kept hearing that sniffling, and this time I saw some tears coming down. I said, "Ma'am, I'm a pastor in California." I said, "Would there be anything I could help you with?" And the tears continued. She said, "Oh," she said, "Sir, I was saved when I was 12. She said, "I accepted Christ as my Savior back then, and As Jesus came into my heart, I was so happy, and I was raised up in church. But," she said, "to be honest with you," she said, "I married a man that didn't think as much about it. And she said, against some counsel and so forth, I got into the relationship. And," she said, "it wasn't long before the anger developed in that relationship. And She said, not only would he oftentimes yell at me, but again, he began to hit me and began to beat me month after month after month. She said, it got so bad that I finally went for some counsel, and even my pastor said, you need to get out of this, at least for a time. And she said, I didn't know what else to do. She said, I had some friends in Europe, and I went over there, and she said, I've been there for the last 6 months, and my marriage is over, and my life is never going to be the same. And she said, I'm just coming back for a few days to see some family. And I took the Bible that evening as the plane was making its approach to Los Angeles International Airport. And I began to share with her some scriptures. I shared with her the scripture that says, casting all your cares upon Jesus because He cares for you. And I shared with her many psalms about how much God loves her and how God wants her to have comfort in her heart. As the plane was landing, I took a bill out of my wallet and I said, did you see this bill? She said, yes. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if I were to offer that to you, would you like to take it? She said, well, sure. I said, well, let me ask you this question. I took that bill and I wrinkled it up and crumpled it in my hand. I even dipped it down in what was left of my coffee there on the little tray. And then I opened it back up and I said, now let me ask you a question. I said, if I were to offer you this bill now, I said, would you be interested in taking this bill? And she said, well, sure. She said, it's the same value. And I said, Lisa, I want to tell you something. I want you to know that even though you've had this divorce and even though you feel like your life has been trampled upon and maybe bad things have taken place to you, I want you to know, Lisa, that you are of no less value today than you were the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He loves you. And I want you to know, friends, this morning that God has placed a great value on your life. He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to come down to this sinful earth and to live here and then to die on the cross so that He might say, that's how much I value you. That's how much I love you. And we see in the Word of God that this immaculate and wonderful and miraculous conception brought forth a Savior who died for the sins of the entire world. This event was prophesied in the Scripture, how He would be born. He would be born of a virgin. When He would be born, 490 years after King Cyrus, Daniel was told in Daniel 9:25, where He would be born. Micah 5:2 even prophesied He would be born in Bethlehem. You see, all of this was done according to God's timetable. And I want you to understand something. You may be feeling like you're waiting for nothing. You may feel right now like going through this time in your life is just a cold, wintry period and you don't understand why the wait. But I want you to recognize that even on God's timetable today, this has been an appointed time, and His will is that you would wait for Him and that you would seek His face during a time of difficulty. And for some in this room this morning, God has brought you to this place in your life so that you would turn not to religion, not to become a member of the church, but that for the first time you would put your faith completely in Jesus Christ and let Him wash your sins away and one day take you to heaven for all of eternity, so that you would walk out of this room today having a personal Savior in your heart. Not a relationship with the church, but a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, the worry of Joseph taught him how to wait on God and gave him an understanding of what this was all about. This was about God working in his life. But I want you to notice finally this morning the witness of Joseph. I want you to see what Joseph did with this good news. The Bible tells us here in verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Now watch this very carefully. Notice that he, first of all, accepted the will of God. Joseph said, God, if this is your will for my life, then I am going to accept it. And he took Mary as his wife. He had thought previously about putting her aside. He had thought perhaps about making it public, but at least privately putting her aside. But now, as God had worked in his heart, he took her unto himself to be his wife. He immediately obeyed the will of God. That's why we read in Luke chapter 2 those famous words, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And here's this verse number 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Joseph said, I'm going to claim Mary. The world might ridicule me. They might not understand. But I will identify with her. For it is through her that God has chosen to bring His only Son. And so Joseph identified with Mary. And when the Bible says they went down to Bethlehem to be taxed, it doesn't say that Joseph went alone. It says that Joseph went with Mary. For he had accepted God's will. He had determined that he would do what God had called him to do. And by the way, isn't it amazing that taxes weave their way into the Christmas story? Sort of like legislation in Washington, you know, just gets pinned in there somehow. And here it is. Heard the story of a man that was on vacation and he was walking outside of his hotel and all of a sudden he saw a lady and she was violently screaming and her son was screaming and crying. And he realized as he watched the situation, he ascertained that the little fella had just swallowed a quarter. And he went up and he said, how can I help? And she said, I don't know what to do. And the man very quickly grabbed the little fellow by the ankles and began to shake him and pound him on the back. And all of a sudden, pop, out came the quarter. The lady said, wow, that was great. Are you a doctor? Are you a paramedic? How in the world did you do that? He said, oh, I'm not a doctor, ma'am. I work for the Internal Revenue Service. And Joseph and Mary, with all the divine actions taking place in their life, one of those divine and sovereign moments and movements in their life was that God would touch the heart of a king named Caesar Augustus and that he would move the entire political system in such a way that what they thought was a negative, going to pay taxes, was God's way of fulfilling his prophecy and bringing them right there to Bethlehem. My friend, there are no accidents with God. And Joseph gives this witness. He says, I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. He identified with Mary. Notice, secondly, he accepted the purpose of God. He accepted the purpose of God. The Bible says in verse 25, he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine that holy moment. That moment we'll learn more about next week when Joseph first lays his eyes on this babe. And he sees the Lord Jesus and he calls him for the first time, Jesus. Hello, Jesus. He didn't have to look up names in a name book. He didn't have to discuss it with Mary. God Himself had said, His name will be called Jesus. Not only does he see, but he believes. He trusts what God said. God says in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There it is again. Jesus Christ was not just another child. He was God with us. And Joseph believed God. And by the way, Joseph was willing to bear the reproach of believing on Jesus Christ. He said, I know there will be those who may not understand. There will be those who will question Mary. They will question my sanity for taking Mary. But I believe this is of God. And I am willing to bear the reproach. And I want you to listen. If you will be a Bible-believing Christian in 2004, there will be people who will say, what is he going to that church for? Why are they living this way? Why do they take their kids there? What in the world is going on with their life? There may be some reproach for some people saying, I can't believe my children are Baptists. I don't know what the reproach might be, but I want to tell you right now, if it's God's leading, you be willing to bear it. For the Bible says, all they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Joseph said, if that's what it means, I'm willing by faith to identify with Jesus Christ. He was a man willing to wait on the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, even if it means bearing reproach, even if it may seem like a little embarrassing? Are you willing to say, you know, I know that I'm a sinner, and here Jesus came to save sinners, and I've never had a time in my life where I called out to Jesus and said, Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. If you've never had that time, let me encourage you today to trust Jesus. It's not about church membership. It's not about whether you've been to catechisms or baptisms. It's about this, my friend. Have you put your total faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, is there something going on in your life today that would require you to just wait on the Lord? Something that you can say, you know what, I need to learn from Joseph today. His decision wasn't really that glamorous. He just decided to be patient. He just decided to let God be God. Maybe you're here today going through something where you just simply need to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm not going to move ahead. I'm not going to lag behind. I'm just going to wait on you to speak to my heart during this time in my life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open up your precious word. Thank you for these dear people and the way they have listened this morning. Now, I pray that your Spirit would touch hearts in a way that I could never hope to do, Lord. And I pray that right now in this moment, that the true meaning of Christmas would dawn as a day star in the hearts of those who would believe.